Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source. You're listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com. Many blessings to you.
Life Conversations is dedicated to empowering its listeners spiritually, emotionally, socially, and financially. The radio show provides the platform for the stimulation of thoughts, conversations, and ways of being that allow listeners to explore and examine what it is they believe and decide whether what they believe is keeping them stuck and disempowered or empowering them to live their best life.
We are standing for your empowerment. We're standing for the remembrance of who you are. We are standing for the healing of humanity, and we are standing for the transformation of your life experiences. There's so much. There's so much to talk about. There's so much to express. There's so much to birth. However, you must birth what wants to be birthed from a place and a space of truth, the truth of who you are. When you know who you are, you don't trip about what you're birthing, because you know who you are, and what you're birthing is coming from a deep space in consciousness, inner space, not outer space. Who are you? Who are you? That is the question.
I am great. I am wonderful. I am whole. I am peace. I am here. I am strong. I'm free. Well, I'm the delight of God. I am you. I am healed. I am love. I am great. I am wonderful. I am whole. And I am free.
Thank you, Carly, for that reminder. Carly Jackson, you can find her on Facebook, CARLLIE Jackson, JAXEN. Reminding us who we are. We are the delight of God. We are wonderful. We are free. We are one with the one. We are one with love. And we must pay attention to tune into our soul, because in your soul you have all the information to navigate this planet, this small plane called planet. Small planet, small plane. There are many planes. There are many planes. So this is just a small plane of the bigger plane, if you know what I mean. So now we got to remind ourselves who we are, because the question today that we're being asked is, are you ready to fall in love? Are you ready to fall in love? That is the question. Ooh, you got to know who you are. If you fall in love and you ain't got no clue, you ain't got no clue. Yeah, that's right. You ain't got no clue about who you is. Ooh, Lord, you're setting yourself up. You got to know who you is, boo. You is love. You is important. You is amazing. Karen Drucker said, song in my soul. I'm singing. Don't be fooled. We'll be back.
There is a song in my soul. It sings I am whole. Everywhere I go, it sings I am whole. There is a song in my soul. It sings I am whole. I am whole.
DJ, I am joy, joy, joy. That's the truth, and there ain't nothing I can do about it. I just need to remember who I is. Okay, stop it. Stop it. Elevate. You know, let people know you understand a little bit of English. Come on now. Stop all of that. But I'm speaking my people's language. They don't even talk like that. Are you ready to fall in love? Are you ready to fall in love with yourself? Are you ready to just surrender, to just fall, and see what happens? Yes, it's sometimes very scary to let go. But you know what? If you don't let go, you're going to get dragged. Get dragged. That's right. Woo! Okay, I think I took one too many medicine this morning. I was only supposed to take 5, but I think I took 10. Even 5 is too much. All right, wait. That was Karen Drucker. Song in my soul. What is the song in your soul? What song are you being inspired to sing? I read something yesterday, something that was said about Iyanla Van Zandt. And Iyanla Van Zandt said, I'm going to paraphrase here. Actually, I'm going to make it up. But I'm making up a paraphrase. Get it? Because I'm not quoting it word for word. So I'm going to make up a paraphrase. Oh, yes. Really going to get lost in translation now. Like, God has a mission for you. The divine, the universe, Mother, Father, God, your higher self, the know thing that is everything, has a mission, has a plan for you, and it will use your stuff to help you in accomplishing that mission, that goal. What does that mean? You know, we grow through stuff, we go through stuff, and we're like, but I want to live a life that's full of passion. I want to live a life of love. I want to give to others. I want to travel. But I have some ish that I'm dealing with. Guess what? God needs your ish to help you for your shift. You know, in your ish is your shift. In the mess is the message. So rather than run from your mess, embrace it, be with it, accept it, allow it. When you allow it, you are open, you are receptive to the message. When you are receptive and open to the message, you are transformed. When you are transformed, you can't help but be a messenger of truth. A messenger of truth, of love, has learned how to embrace her mess. Because she knows and he knows that the message of her life, the message that the universe, the divine, God, goddess, the no name and the all the names that you want to call it, hid the message of your life in the mess. Just a little something I thought I'd drop on you. To let you know I'm a little bit deep. I'm a little bit enlightened. Not so much. Now, let's get silly. What was I trying to say? I don't know. I had so many words come at once. It was like 285 in Atlanta. Congestion. All the words came, I couldn't say anything. All right, let's start over again. That's right. Take a deep breath in with me. Come and join me. Breathe in. And breathe out. Here we go. This is the professional radio host coming out. I hear him. He's coming. He's putting on his headset. Good morning, good afternoon, good day to you. See, he messed up. Well, you know, wherever you may be, he don't even know what he's saying. Just be yourself. Good morning, good afternoon, good day, good evening. Just good to you wherever you are, because life is always good, and good is you because you are life. Life is living itself. Life is living herself as you. And life is for you. It is never against you. So while you feel yourself under pressure because of what you're growing through in life, ooh, release, relax, and let go, and allow life to move through you. Thank you for tuning in to Life Conversations Radio, where change begins and change is inspired. And when you change with the change, you will make a difference. You can't help but make a difference, because sometimes people go through a change and they're so resistant. I'm not talking about anybody. I'm not even talking about myself, because I don't do that. So resistant to the change that we're the same, even while everyone around us is saying, what are they complaining about? But when you change with the change, oh, you don't need anybody to affirm your life. You know that all is well. And even if you're going through bumps and bruises, oh, just temporary. So I ain't going to trip. I'm just going to trust. You are listening to the Ask Life Coach at a radio show where you are guaranteed to fall in love. The fact that you're listening, oh, you're in trouble now. You're going to fall in love with yourself. Before we end the show, you're going to start hugging yourself, kissing yourself, forgiving yourself, just surrendering, saying, oh, my God. Oh, my goddess. I finally see my beauty. I have been miseducated. Oh, I feel healed. I feel whole. I feel free. I feel heavenly. I feel celestial. Hello, Celeste. How are you doing? Ha, stay ready or you get caught off guard. How are you?
You know what? You make Mondays feel great, Life Coach today.
Great.
Yeah, Tony the Tiger over there. I'm loving it. You got me laughing. I mean, you literally could have caught me, like, giggling. So I'm prepared. Hi.
Hi. I am that. I am high. Yes, let me welcome those of you in the chat room. Thank you for tuning in. I was being playful when I catch Celeste off guard, but she's just too good for me. Her name is Celeste. She's a celestial one. She's of higher consciousness. She knows what I'm going to do even before I do it. That's why I roll with her, you know? Woo! So thank you, those of you in the chat room. Thank you for tuning in. Those of you listening on the phone line, crystal clear, my dear sister friend. It is so beautiful, so lovely to see you. And all the others that are running, oh, I want to fall in love. Where? Where's the show? You know, they're asking the question and running to the direction. Yeah, keep going. You're going to get there. Welcome home. And, of course, want to welcome those of you listening on the archive. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for tuning in to yourself, because we need each other, and together we'll make a difference. Celeste, how are you making a difference in the world? How was your weekend?
My weekend was wonderful. It was great. I had an amazing guest on my show last night, my four-year anniversary from the first time I called into Life Conversations Radio Network, and it was Alita McClellan. You know her. You know Alita Medacity. Had a great
The bird lady.
You know, you always hear birds in the background. I was waiting for Cleo to jump in, so it was cool. The cat. I'm still feeling the buzz from that, so I'm so ready to fall in love.
You know, I'm just thinking. I'm going to come back to that. you know, I don't let. I know you left it hanging for me to take over, but I'm coming. I'm just having a moment here. When you really think about, when I think about it, yesterday on your show when you said it's your 4th year anniversary. I said, what are you talking about, four? And I start thinking, four, that's 2010. And then I thought, oh, yeah, that's when I revamped the all-new radio show and the name changed over a period of time. And I was thinking, and I said, wow, 4 years. And I don't know what 4 years is supposed to feel like, but it seems so long ago, and I am just amazed. 4 years. Of course, I've been doing radio before that, but just, you know, to have a marker. And the thing about me is, I've always said this, and my birth card confirms it. My life is my work, and my work is my life. So I don't often put a marker in the things that I've done, the things that I've achieved. I just keep going. There's some other stuff, you know, there's some other stuff. But I'm learning to slow down and look. Not get too caught up in it, because if I get too caught up in it, I start judging it, criticizing it. So I try to just give birth and keep it moving. Who wants this baby? Take it. Give birth and keep it moving. Who wants this baby? Take it. I don't care if you say, oh, that baby is cute, or that baby is ugly. It don't matter to me. I just give birth and keep it moving. But to have a marker like yourself to say this is 4 years, it's humbling, because life does what life does, and I'm so grateful. I'm grateful for you in so many ways, and you are a friend. You are someone who believes in me. You are someone who believes in my work, and your words have you know, rose me up when I was dead, because you would say some things many years ago, and I'm thinking, you know, doubting what I'm doing, and you would say something like, come on, man. Do you know? I mean, there's so many things you said that we don't even have time. We do have time, but we also got to move on. And
how can I forget the first time I told you I didn't like you, though, for real?
Oh, yeah. You said, first time I heard you, I didn't like you.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, that's your problem. Didn't I tell you that's your problem, not mine?
No, you didn't. Yes. No, you didn't. You were a big kid. You were like, really? Tell me more about that.
Actually, I remember busting out laughing because I've never heard anybody say, I didn't like you. Actually, no, that's not true. I've heard something close to that, but you were saying it on the radio. When I first, and the way you said it with the Southeast attitude.
Mm-hmm.
When I first met you, I didn't like you.
That's
right. Is this one of my baby mamas?
No, you didn't. Oh, my God. I don't even like those two words.
We'll be right back
after this. Let me fall in love. Let me stay in love. Okay, go ahead.
Oh, Lord. No, you're good. And here you are today. Didn't like me and now can't get away from me. Woo!
Not at all. Yay.
What can I say? Yes. So you're ready to fall in love?
I am. I'm already in love with Dr. Richard Moss. He's a phenomenal mind with the biggest heart. So
I am
so ready for this conversation. Yeah, you gotta love Richard Moss. He's just amazing.
And just like you said, you're already in love. I want to invite all my listeners. I don't care if you listen to the archive show or you listen to the live show, wherever you are, whenever you listen to this, 100 years from now, if they still have MP3s, and your kids are going to say, MP3, what is that? But if there's a way to keep the sound alive, wherever you are, whenever you listen to this, I want you to allow yourself to learn something new about love and bring all your fears and doubt and worry about love, bring it to the table. Just bring it to the altar, because this love that we are activating is going to dissolve any and everything that no longer serves you. You just got to be willing. It's up to you. So even though you've already fallen in love, get ready to fall even deeper.
Wow. All right.
Mm-hmm.
We promised our life coach today.
You know, that's what love does. Love says, come on, just think, just fall, just surrender, just let it go. Hey, let's let that hang, and we'll be back. And, I'm so excited. Love does things to me. Ooh, it brings out the best in me, and it brings out the crazy in me, and I love myself just the way I am. Ooh, I hear a song. I love myself the way I am, there's nothing I need to change. I'm beautiful. I'm changing the lyrics, but I don't care how I do it. I love myself. And stop singing, okay? You're pushing your luck right now. You're pushing your luck. But I love myself to express myself. Don't you ever ask me to sing this when I see you in person, because I won't. I can hide behind the microphone, and that is the truth. When I'm behind this microphone, ooh, Lord, I'm a mess. When I see you face to face, don't want to talk to you. Well, not really. I just not this. Well, I don't know. Let me bring Fliss back on, because I'm doing too much talking. I'm getting too silly, and people want to fall in love, and I'm playing around. Stop playing around, Opa.
Hello, family. Welcome to the Ask Life Coach Today radio show. It's Celeste here, and I'll be keeping you informed of all the happenings going on with the Ask Life Coach Today radio show and LifeConversationsRadio.com. You can find the Metaphysical Rebel, a.k.a. Life Coach Today, right here every Monday from 12 until 2 p.m. Eastern. If you happen to miss him live, all the shows are archived. You can even subscribe on iTunes by entering Life Conversations. You don't have to go a day without Life Coach Today. Call in with your questions, thoughts, and anything you're dealing with so Life Coach Today can support you. The call-in number is 347-426-3346, and make sure to press 1 on your keypad. If you can't call in, post your questions on the Ask Life Coach Today fan like page. Just be sure to create a new posting. We want to make sure we get to you. You can also join me around 1 for Celestial Moment with Celeste Morgan, where I offer the spiritual weather report of the day. If you have questions or thoughts for upcoming shows for Life Coach Today, you can email them to ask@lifecoachaday.com. The theme for the month of September is Fall in Love. We also have exciting shows on the Life Conversations Radio Network. Make sure you join Living in the Yes with the Reverend Dr. Deborah L. Johnson at 9 p.m. Eastern on Tuesday nights. Then join Ambassa Safara for the Play Experience every Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern. You can also join me for the Celestial Show with Celeste Morgan every Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern. And don't forget to tune into Ancestral Blueprints with Lisa Iverson and Life Coach Today on the last Wednesday of the month. You have more places to listen to Life Coach Today. You can catch him every Tuesday morning, 7 a.m. Pacific, 10 a.m. Eastern on 12radio.com for Soul Food for Your Consciousness. Get a little pep in your step when you join Life Coach Today. Be on the lookout for the postings for all these shows. For more info, go to lifeconversationsmedia.com. Now, that wraps up your announcements. Let's welcome back Life Coach Today.
Thank you, Celeste. Ooh, I'm warning you. I'm warning you. What do you want from me? Love is intoxicating. When you fall in love, you get drunk. Not just crazy in love, you get drunk. And when you're drunk in love, you're flexible, you're free, you allow, you become allower of life, allower of all that is good. You allow life to flow through and as you. And even when things come up that kind of ruffles your feather, you have a moment to grab yourself like, whoa, ooh, I didn't see that one coming. Hold on, let me just take a breath. I know this too shall pass. I just got to remember that I am love. And when you stay in that space, you allow the heavy vibration to move through you. It may be a moment. It may be a day. It may be a week. It may be years. But if you continue to remember who and what you are and keep reminding yourself that life is for you, not against you, you will grow through it. You will grow through it. We started the show, well, we didn't start the show, but we play Karen Drucker. And to find her, go to karendrucker.com. Karen, K-A-R-E-N, Drucker, D, Delta, R-U-C-K-E-R.com. KarenDrucker.com. it's almost time to bring on Doctor. Well, you know, I said to Celeste this morning. I said I'm going to call him Baba Richard. Baba means father. Baba is like an elder because he's an elder, and I'm not just talking about age. I'm talking about his wisdom. He's a visionary. His words are so soft, but they're full of power. You know, it's like one of those candies, you know, those little candies you put in your mouth and they explode in your mouth. His words go through your ears and go through your body. And when they get in your consciousness, there's an explosion of transformation. And you don't even know what happened because it happened on the inside. So your mind is like, I feel this vibration. Your egoic mind is like, what was that? What just happened? And your heart is saying, be still. I got this. And when we live from that place of stillness, when we listen to that still, small voice, we have no choice but to be transformed. So now, don't be greedy. I want you to share this love with your loved ones, your friends, your family, your neighbors, your enemy, because you don't have an enemy. It's just your enemy. You are one with all things. So share the show. Tell people, this guy's crazy, I got to warn you, but I get something in me tells me you want to listen to this. And after they listen, and they got to listen, before they can even judge or criticize you or the show, they have to listen to the whole show. If not, tell them their opinion is not valid, okay? But I promise you, bring them here. By the time I'm done with them, they won't be able to stand up. Wink, wink. Celeste, help me, rescue me before I get out of hand because love is taking me over. Love is taking me away. I'm ready to fall in love. The theme is fall in love.
Oh, wait. Yes. Mm-hmm.
I know, right?
I have the pleasure of sharing with our listening audience, our family, a little bit about Dr. Richard Moss. He is internationally respected as a visionary thinker, teacher, and author of 7 books on transformation, self-healing, and the art of conscious living. His teaching bridges science, psychology, energy medicine, and spiritual awareness practices. In 1977, Dr. Richard was a practicing medical doctor when he experienced a spontaneous spiritual illumination that awakened him to the multidimensional nature of human consciousness. This realization profoundly transformed his understanding of the roots of emotional suffering and inspired him to explore the almost limitless human potential for growth and healing. His philosophy is entirely pragmatic. Work on consciousness must alleviate human suffering and address the root causes of why and how we create so much conflict in ourselves and our world. His latest book is Inside Out Healing, Transforming Your Life Through the Power of Presence. Family, please welcome Dr. Richard Moss.
Ooh. Let me find the applause. What's up, Doc?
Hello, everybody. Hello.
How are you doing? Thank you, Celeste.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Celeste, yes.
How are you doing, Dr. Richard Moss?
I'm doing very well, Coach Ede, very well. Just been on tour in Europe for almost 7 weeks and then got back for a few days and was with, believe it or not, a European group in California. And now I just got home, picked up my beloved at the airport night before last, and here we got home yesterday. Home being Colorado. So,
yes, yes. Yep. And now you're home. Now you're
briefly,
home.
Briefly.
Yes.
lots of travel these days. Lots of opportunities to. I mean, there's such a hunger in the world for ways to become better people and live our lives more fully, more completely, more with greater integrity. So it's wonderful. And for the first time ever, we're going to be going to South Africa. And that'll be probably in January. So that's kind of neat.
Yes, talk about a loving agent of transformation. It is. And That's one of the things I love about you. I haven't been in a while, and I've been excited about having you back and having a conversation as you travel around the world. And, you know, we're talking about love, which has so many meanings. Some people run from it like, oh, hell no, I don't do love. And some people are just crazy in love. Some people are like, I don't understand love. And your wisdom and your experience, your insight from past shows, it just really – it inspires me. So I'm actually grateful to have you this month where the theme is fall in love. And, of course, the fall part of it is a play with the season. But we're also looking at fall from different perspectives. And but before we do that, before we go deeper, I want to ask you, I must ask you this question. We just read a little bit about you. You've shared your story, what you're doing at a good, wonderful, mature, wise age, still traveling the world and inspiring. And I want to ask you from your point of view, from your perspective, who are you? Who is Richard Moss?
Oh, my goodness. What a trick question. I'd rather just let the things I say and the energy behind the things I say speak for that. Because anything I would say about who I am would just be a kind of story. I can give you my bio, but Celeste gave parts of that. I'm a seeker who knows that anything I find isn't really what I'm seeking for. I'm seeking for, in a certain sense, to be one with that deeper consciousness so that I am love, so that I can live my life with my heart open no matter what happens, and that's what I call my consecration, to keep my heart open no matter what happens in my life, no matter what happens to my health, no matter what happens with aging, no matter what happens with grief and loss, no matter what happens with acknowledgement, because sometimes we can puff up with acknowledgement. A seeker. And a good definition of a teacher is someone who can learn. So I'm still learning, and I will continue learning. Just sitting quietly in the morning, I'm learning. Just every day I like to sit quietly for whatever time feels right. Sometimes these days, if I'm not busy, it can be an hour and a half, 2 hours. I just watch what's arising in the mind. And you were saying about falling in love, I was listening to you, that we become flexible and allowing. And so I like to watch what's really here in the moment and then what my mind constructs so I can tell the difference. So I'm an observer of my consciousness, which makes me in a way kind of fluent with what happens in other people's consciousness, because we do the same things. Even though we think we're very unique, we actually do the same things inside of ourselves. And if we can learn what we're doing, then we start to outgrow what we're doing, and when we do, we enter into a more complete part of ourselves, which we don't even have to make. It's already there. So in a certain sense, we're kind of doing the backstroke toward God, looking at where we were, and by looking at where we were, we transcend it, or looking at where we are, we transcend it, and we keep getting closer and closer to this mystery that we're never going to be actually able to talk about beyond like the word I just used, God. So that's sort of me.
I love that visual of doing a backstroke towards God. Like sometimes our arms will get tired and we think we can't make it, or we're never going to make it, or the muscles are not strong enough, we're not healthy enough to make it back to God. But even in the backstroke, even in the ocean, even in the water, even in all that is happening, we're in God, returning to the beginning. And it's that whole thing about seeking that oneness that we already are. And it's such a beautiful visual as I think about it. So let's kind of play around with today's topic. It's more of a question. Are you ready to fall in love? The intent is to have the observer, the viewer, the reader, the listener look at that title, if you will, Are You Ready to Fall in Love? And even if they never listen to the show, that it inspires something in them, even if it brings up triggers or brings up a new awareness. And what I want to do is just kind of break it down a little bit. Well, actually, I want you to break it down. It's the question, are you ready to fall in love? Let's break it down and let's talk about fall, and then we'll talk about love. Because fall can mean something where you fall and hurt yourself. Fall can mean where you kind of just give in to it. But oftentimes when we put fall and love together, people run like roaches, like, no, I'm not doing that. I'm too grown for that. I'm too mature to fall in love.
run like roaches.
That's right. It's like, the light is on. I'm out of here. And some of you who were not privileged enough to have roaches in your house, you missed out on one of the best things in life. It's a great visual.
That's very funny.
Trust me.
So,
when you think of the word fall, what comes up for you? How do you define it? What does that look like? How does that play out through your consciousness?
Well, you know, it's beautiful that you say that. Every person every day, let's say every night, has the experience of falling. We fall asleep, right? And we use the same the word fall for fall asleep and for falling in love. We mean the same thing. So it's not that you fall and get hurt. That's not what happens. I mean, you fall because for a little while, well, at night if you're going to sleep, what happens? Your body starts to relax. Your mind, your ego, loses interest in itself, in its own contents, and suddenly your ego disappears, this idea of me, this separate self, Richard Mosser, I don't know your last name, but Coach Ade, you know, it's, and then you fall. And if you fall too quickly, or if there's a sudden noise, you pop awake again, and then you pop back into me, into my fears, my needs. What was that? What was that sound? Okay, so every night we all have the experience of falling when we fall asleep. And it's a similar thing that happens when we fall in love. We lose kind of our interest in ourself, and we become totally engrossed in the other. And then because we've kind of lost interest in ourself and we're so enamored, mesmerized, and delighted by this other person, you can fall in love with a pet too. You can fall in love with a new my partner Annalisa just become a grandmother almost six months ago, and she just instant fell in love, you know, with her grandson. So fall means we let go of ourselves, and then suddenly there's a presence that's there, that's not there with everybody, that's not there in the same depths with other people, and in that presence we feel complete, we feel seen, we feel like we see the other, we feel seen by the other, and as you say, we get flexible, we get accepting, all of that happens. And the reason we use the term fall is because we didn't do it. You know, we didn't do it. Falling out of love, we do. But falling in love, we don't do. And that's why it can be such a treacherous thing, because we fall in love and we lose all judgment. We fall in love and we project only the positive things on that other person, and we think, this is the man I've been waiting for, or this is the woman I've been waiting for. And we invent them in our own minds without even realizing it. We create them as this perfect person for us, and they are for a little while. And falling in love is great. If nature wants to make sure that we're going to reproduce, we're going to, you know, be productive, have new children, when we fall in love, that's all we want to do, is just make love. And of course, our lives are much more complicated now, so we may not want to make children. But, you know, long before we had birth control and all the ways we can protect ourselves from having children before we're ready or when we're not ready and all that, falling in love was a surefired way to make sure the babies kept coming, at least initially. So in a way, you know, the biological part of it is that. But the psychological part is really fascinating, you know, a little bit of what I'm talking about. We make the other person into who they need to be for us to fall, and we don't even realize we do it. And the only way we ever realize what we did is later when we start to make the person into someone we don't want or who isn't right for us, and then we start telling ourselves the stories about why they're not right for us, or you know, why it won't work, or why we're not compatible, and we fall out of love, and then you can get an idea of what you did to fall in love. And and I, you know, falling in love is just about the most beautiful experience most of us will ever have. And it's also an invitation. If you say to yourself, okay, I don't want to just fall in love. I don't want it free. I don't want it just given to me by some sort of a mystery where I don't earn it. I'm going to become a real student of what happened when I fell in love with my partner or my girlfriend or my boyfriend, who's now my husband or wife, and all the other times I fell in love. I want to really see what I did. I want to make it conscious, which kind of spoils it in a way. You know, when you make something conscious for a while.
Yes. Yes, it does. It's not fun anymore.
You know what I'm
going to
do? I'm going to switch phones. Hold on. Because this phone is obviously not working well. It's running out of battery after just a few minutes. No good.
It wants to fall in love so he can be recharged. Yes, you are listening to the Ask Life Coach Ade Radio Show, also known as the House of Love, where we are supporting you on your transformation journey and upgrading your consciousness so you may fall in love with yourself. When you fall in love with yourself, you get clear that you are inventing who you want the other to be for you. So this time when you fall in love, well, actually, I won't go there. I'm going to just leave that hanging. I'm just going to leave that hanging. I know. Yes, I didn't want to go there. Okay, now go ahead. Over to you, birth and flow.
It's the most beautiful experience of all. But then ask yourself, if that's the most beautiful experience, why was it the most beautiful experience? And can I keep living that? Because when we fall in love, it's free. You know, it's given to us. It's a blessing. We don't know, you know, we can make up our own explanation of why that blessing is happening to us and why it happens to everyone everywhere, hopefully from time to time. So different cultures, for example, cultures like in India where the parents will choose the spouse for their children, and sometimes they do it very wisely. They really know the nature of their own children, and they know the nature of this other man or woman, and they talk between the families, and they say, okay, these two people will be good for each other. They will not fall in love right away, but they will discover love gradually, and it'll become a profound love, an enduring love. You know, that's the best case scenario. And sometimes it's just families trying to link each other for financial or power reasons, and the kids are kind of sacrificed to that. But in some cultures, they're not concerned with falling in love. They're concerned with enduring love and people that are really a good match for each other in the long term. And we here, you know, we don't really become students of love until we've hurt ourselves and watched ourselves hurt other people or been hurt by someone, been betrayed, felt abandoned, you know, or been the betrayer or been the abandoner. Then after we've hurt ourselves a few times, and then we say to ourselves, oh, do I not want to do this anymore? Or, okay, I'm going in wide-eyed now. I'm really listening. I want to learn. And you get two people who have hurt themselves a few times or failed at it a few times, and then sometimes you'll say, okay, let's work at it together when it gets difficult. Let's see if we can grow love instead of fall in love. Let's see if love can become our teacher instead of some blessing that falls on us or we fall into. Big difference.
Yes. You know, I'm taking notes here. And I want to ask you this, because you talked about being a student of love. Let's be a student of love and not fall in love. And I have a question which I'll wait on. Actually, I'm writing. I know it. But so I want to go here first so that we are all on one accord as we take this moment to be a student of love, to listen to love differently through your eyes, through your vibration, through your consciousness. What is love?
Ooh, well,
I like that sound. You said, ooh.
It depends on your level of consciousness, Eddie.
Yes.
It really does. Mm. It, 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 at let's say one of the most expansive complete levels of consciousness, consciousness itself is love. This God is love. I mean, because there's so many different words for God. It depends on the tradition. It depends on the practice. But love is the recognition of the interconnectedness of all things because you are part of it. You're one with it. And you realize that all things aren't just the manifest universe. All things are really that mystery or consciousness in which this universe arises. Love is more than just plain bliss or nirvana. It's the very nature of the substance of consciousness, if we can say that this profound, deeper consciousness has a nature. But when you get there, there is this incredible sense of warmth toward life or friendliness with things or compassion, and that consciousness is love. And then we feel that when we fall in love, but we feel it for a specific person. So there's that love that is conditional in a way, and it's based on our way of seeing a person and projecting on that person, and it's partly conscious and it's partly unconscious in the way it takes us over, which is why we say falling in love, because it takes us over. And then there is, maybe if you're on a spiritual or consciousness path, a state where you become love, you are love, and it's quite unconditional. It's not based on the qualities of the other person or the nature of the situation. It's really hard to describe, but I know some of our listeners have had experiences where they shifted to a level where everything was love. And it may have, we know, for example, it happens in near-death experiences. Everything becomes love for a while. And when the person returns, they know a whole lot more about love than they knew before. And we know it happens after, you know, tremendous stress sometimes, and we know it happens sometimes through some sort of a transmission from a person who's deep in a state of love. And then, of course, it's temporary, but for a little while, we are love. And so that's one kind of love. And then there's, as I just said, Annalisa is just totally instinctually, naturally in love with her grandson. And I think everybody who's listening who's become a grandparent knows what this is. And perhaps we have the same thing for the birth of our children, but it's, of course, much more complicated. We totally love our children, but we have to raise them. It's not easy. We have to work hard to create an environment for them. It's complicated. And then as they grow up, they're going to be needing to differentiate from us, and so they find things wrong with us as parents, and they push us away in order to find the strength to go out into the world on their own. So that's a more complicated love than being a grandparent. But it's still kind of just a given. You know, if you're someone's father, you're their father. If you're their mother, you're their mother. If you're a daughter or a son, you are a daughter or a son. And it's pretty much non-elective. But I think, you know, what we're talking about here is the love, we could call it elective. You choose it. Or in the beginning, when we fall in love, it chooses us. But then for it to be enduring and for it to grow to a different kind of love, a profound, mature love, a real deepening into love, then we have to learn about ourselves in a very deep way. We have to get closer and closer to ourselves in order to get closer and closer to someone else. That's one of the great mysteries of love. If you feel far from a person, if you're judging another person, chances are you're just not connecting deep enough to yourself. Chances are that the very judgment you're making of the other person is going to turn around and you're going to judge yourself similarly. So I like to say the distance from myself is the distance from another. And so when we fall in love, we feel so connected to ourselves and so connected to this other person. And when we fall out of love, it's because now we're kind of disconnecting from ourselves in the presence of another and judging that person and judging ourselves. And then you have a lot to learn about that. That's why I say doing the backstroke backwards, because you can't turn around and face God, because all you'd be facing is a belief system, an idea. Someone told you about God, the the priest told you about God, the mullah told you about God, someone told you about God. You know, it's been passed down, this is the truth, this is the... But, so you'd be moving just toward an idea, a belief. And if you really want to end up in love, you have to look at all the ways that you hurt love. If you really want to end up in a place where you love is growing and growing between you and another person, and usually if it's growing between you and another person, it's growing in you toward life, so it's growing toward everything in your life, then you have to see how you got self-involved, how you closed your heart, how you became narcissistic, how it became all about you. You know, love, real love makes people more and more truly authentic and individual. And the way we kill love is by being individualistic. Me, my want, my need, my way of seeing, my truth. You know, as soon as we get individualistic, relationships start to fail and the love dies. It's always waiting for us, but it dies. And as soon as we become truly authentic and individual, then the love grows. The love is there again. Mm-hmm. And, you know, love is something that we create in the moment. So if it's a remembered love, it's going to block the actual love that wants to be in you right now. You don't want to be looking back at the thing you remember as being in love and judging what's happening right now through that memory, through that lens of the past, because you'll kill the present moment love. Love is a presence that takes us over because we're present. Mm.
Whoa. Tell you I love this man. I love your consciousness. I love you. I love the well you drink from, that you pull from. There's so much you said. I'm writing notes, and now I'm trying to form questions around. Like, I'll forget it. Just go with the ride. Like you said, don't hold on. Just stay in the moment. And you've taken me, and I'm sure you've taken the listeners on a journey. What I want to do here, you shared so much. It's like my heart is expanded. Let's kind of bring it, not bring it back, just go a different direction for a minute, because I'm going to, on the other side, we're going to tie it all together, what this love looks like when we're talking about romance, when we're talking about unconditional love, conditional love, and all of that. The title, Are You Ready to Fall in Love? Actually, the theme for the month is Fall in Love. So we're playing around as well with the season of fall. We're about a week away. How can we use the fall season to get a better understanding of love, to become a student of love?
You know, when you wrote to me and told me the theme, I thought about that. So we're beginning to get the autumn colors here in Colorado.
Wow.
And you know, up in the mountains, because it gets colder up there, so the aspen trees are turning gold. And I don't know what's happening in the East Coast and New England where the colors go great. But what we know about the autumn is that the blossom, the bloom, the magnificence, the flowers that started in the spring and reached fullness in the summer, they are now letting go. They're going into this brilliant sort of colors as they transition. You know, and if it's a deciduous tree that loses its leaves, in the next, you know, in autumn, as we get into fall, those leaves are going to fall off, you know, and the plants that were standing up tall and straight in the summer are going to fall over and fall down, not trees, but, you know, the flower stems, the grasses and things like that, they're going to just go goop. So, you know, I would say that falling in love is one thing, and the season of fall is falling out of love, getting ready, and then going into the darkness of the winter where you really don't know, can you love? Are you really able to love? Are you too selfish to truly love? Is anyone going to love you? Are you lovable? You know, and in the winter, we, you know, like the dark night of the soul, we need to go down deep, kind of go underground. Life doesn't look brilliant and happy and wonderful and glowing like it does in the spring and the summer. So fall is that transition into kind of a state of rest, a state of letting things, you know, in the winter, animals, certain animals hibernate. In the winter, throughout most of human history, we lived off of what we stored up during the summer, and then in the spring we plant, and things grow again. And in the winter we have to live off of the stored stuff from the past, and we have to be careful that we don't run out of food because we don't know when spring's going to necessarily start. So for me, fall, the season fall, is, if you want to talk about it symbolically, it's an actual incredible beauty as we transition out of growth into kind of sleeping or hibernation or less light. There's going to be, the days are shorter, the days are colder. Of course, have to remember that our winter up here, this is fall for us, but guess what? I've got some friends coming to visit next week, and they're from South America, and it's spring for them. Mm. So here on planet Earth, when we're in fall, half the planet's in spring. When we're in winter, half the planet's in summer, and so on. And it's really interesting to think that planet Earth holds all the seasons all the time. It's never only winter. It's never only summer or spring or fall. And so in a way, then, even though fall is happening now, we know that somewhere else spring is waiting to arrive. And that's kind of the compliment, that even though we're getting older, we're going through a cycle, we're going to shed the past, and for a while we're going to be literally glorious. I think of how beautiful the forests are when all the trees have changed color, and it's just great. I don't know, maybe that's an analogy. Maybe it's an analogy. The autumn, the autumn of our years. I'm kind of in late autumn in my life. I mean, sort of at this age, but mid-autumn, late autumn, I don't know what they say. I mean, I guess I'm in technically young old age at the age of almost 68. So it's, I see life getting better and better and better. I mean, there's some aches and pains, and there's things that are, what my body doesn't do as well as it used to do. But boy, the appreciation, I would say, the spectacular autumn colors is kind of the feeling I feel at this stage of life. And then I have friends. I've watched friends, that I've known in my work for years that reach real old age, extreme old age, and it's not easy. And yet some of them, because they've lived their lives wanting to learn to love, they become so radiant in their love as, extreme elders. Until, of course, the body gives out. But even then, their hearts tend to stay open. Any rate, I don't know. It's just kind of different images kind of coming to me in the moment.
Yes.
In autumn, we start thinking about, am I prepared for winter? In the summer, in the springtime when we fall in love, in the summer when there's only love and it can never go. In the autumn, you begin to wonder, can I weather the storms? Will we stay through the difficult times? Do we really want to let love grow, which means that we each grow? We grow in consciousness. We grow in individuality and authenticity with our partner. Don't want to be living in a state of resignation. Don't want to be living in a state of, I'm financially dependent, so I'm not going to leave or something like that. Don't want to do that. Life is too precious to do that. Takes courage to love. Takes courage to know when the love can't grow anymore. And it takes courage to ask the other whether they will work with you to grow in love. It takes a lot of courage to love.
Yes. Yes, it takes courage to know when to burn the plants that are no longer growing, that these plants are never going to rebirth, they're not going to grow, it's done. We need to put it in the flame, we need to burn it up. And it takes courage to love, indeed. There's so much that you said earlier. You talked about, turning, we can't turn to look at the face of God, and that just moved me. It's like, oh my God, yeah, oh my God. Even people who've had near-death experience will talk about they saw the light
it wasn't necessarily blinding, but it can look, but still they got to look away because it was so intense. And love has a way of breaking us open like that. Love have a way of stripping us down to our nakedness. And, you know, it's like when I think of the fall, it's this opportunity to, are we willing to be stripped down to our nakedness, to a place where we don't know, where we die to the old. And I love the journey you're taking us on. And so, you know, as you talk about love, we talk about love. I'm saying love. I love you. I love the journey. I love love. Love is often confused in so many ways. The Greek have many definitions for it. The agape love, the philia love, and what's the other one? Eros, and then one I just found out the other day, stoge. I want to talk more about that when we come back. We're going to take a break now and come back with Celestial Moment. And then I want us to go deeper and how we can become a willing student of love mentally, emotionally, and physically, and romantically, so that we can remain open and flexible and allow love to teach us what we need or want to remember. So we'll do that when we come back from the break. Whew. I need to just breathe in and breathe out. I am so grateful for each and every one of you for listening, be it live or archived, because collectively, as I always say, we are co-hosting the show. We are co-producing the show. Dr. Richard Musk said, you know, love is the interconnected of all things. You are love. I am love. There is a force. There is an energy. There is a presence that connects us together. So everything that you're thinking, feeling, and moving through, the questions that you're thinking to call in and ask or not ask or go through yourself, is inspiring what you're hearing, is inspiring what has been said. So thank you for showing up and being a co-host of this wonderful conversation. It's really a class. Are you ready to fall in love? And since you're here, clearly you are. We are growing together. We are loving together. Why? Because we need each other. We are going to take a break. The number is 347-426-3346, 347-426-3346. And I know most of you are quite great multi-listeners. I have more female listeners, so, you know, y'all just multitask, hands down. So while you're listening to the commercials, so you can remember what's coming up on the show, check out Richard, and if you're a man too, I know you can. I mean, I'm activating. Through the power of God invested in me, I'm waking up the ability to multitask. Go to richardmoss.com, M-O-S-S, richardmoss.com, and find out about his work and some of the videos on there. But don't get carried away now, because you will fall in love with the greatest gift we can give another. He said, the greatest gift we can give another is the purity of our attention. So give me your attention so I can receive the greatest gift. Woo, I am a mess when I listen to myself. We'll be back, 347-426-3346.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hello, this is motivational speaker Les Brown, and you're listening to Life Conversations. It's going to change your life.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source. You're listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com. Many blessings to you.
Ready to live in the yes? Join me, Rev D, the Reverend Dr. Deborah Johnson, here Tuesday evenings, 9 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Pacific. Call in with your questions and comments as together we explore spiritual qualities and learn practical tools that unleash our spiritual power. We mix in some music, spoken word, readings, prophetic utterances. You want in on this? Living in the Yes, 9 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Pacific, right here on Life Conversations Radio.
Hi, this is Mark Hussman, founder of 12radio.com, and I'm here to support Life Coach Ade. I like what Life Coach Ade does. I like the Celestial Moment with Celeste Morgan, and I like the message that's given out. If you like the message and you have a product that you'd like to also announce that would reach like-minded people, consider sponsoring the show. The pricing is great, and details will be given after this message. Keep spreading the love, guys. Thank you so much.
Thank you, my dear friend, Mark Hussin, founder of 1-2 Radio. Yes, for more information, send an email to radio@lifeconversationsradio.com. That's radio@lifeconversationsradio.com.
I'm tired of running from my life.
Hello, family. I'm Celeste Morgan, host of The Celestial Show, and I want to invite each and every one of you to join me on Sunday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern to receive divine messages through tarot, numbers, and my intuition. Break out to the other side with laughter and information you can use to get the life you truly want to live. Remember, that's every Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern on LifeConversationsRadio.com. I'll see you there.
Are you ready to come out to play? To passionately love and appreciate who you are? Join me, Mombasa Sophia, on the playground of life, the play experience, every Thursday, 7 p.m. Eastern, where we always serve a raw, delicious smorgasbord of healing the mind, the heart, and the soul into this spectacular circle of life. Are you ready? See you on the playground. Be there or be square. The Play Experience, 7 p.m. each Thursday, here on LifeConversationsRadio.com.
Join Lisa Iverson and Life Coach Today for Ancestral Blueprints at 12 p.m. Eastern on the last Wednesday of the month. Learn how the unacknowledged truths in your ancestral blueprints may still be influencing your life today, and how to bring awareness to the truths that want to be acknowledged. Join Lisa Iverson and Life Coach Today, 12 p.m. Eastern, every last Wednesday of the month on LifeConversationsRadio.com.
Life Conversations, committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be. Have courage, make that move.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Yes, indeed. We are inviting you to be the change you want to see. We are inviting you to fall in love. The truth is, that is your mission on this planet, to fall in love with yourself, to fall in love with life, to fall in love, period. You are listening to the Ask Life Coach at a radio show on LifeConversationsRadio.com. And I thank all of you for listening, for tuning in, for sharing the show. Thank you for your feedback. Thank you for your comments. My brother Cedric, thank you, thank you. Reverend Cedric of Hillside International Truth Center, thank you for listening. Thank you for your words. My guest is Dr. Richard Moss, and we are on a journey. On a journey of love. We're on a journey to become a willing student of love, to embrace all that comes with falling in love with self, and to embrace how love shows up romantically, how it shows up in our personal life, how it shows up emotionally, because ultimately, that's what it's about. But right now, we want to take a heavenly journey. We want to find out what's going on. We want to stand on a true foundation so we can stand on truth. Find a true foundation to stand in truth. Celeste, how are you doing?
Falling in love with love, and you know, fall is my favorite season. Favorite song in the world is Autumn Leaves. I have just been primed for this conversation, so thank you to both of you. And the energy of the you're so welcome. There's a lot of there are numbers I don't recognize in the on the phone lines. Some guests, new Jace. I just say thank you and welcome to all of you for listening to this, because as we all take this journey together, we get to grow. And it feels great to do that in a loving environment. And yes, all you in the archives too. Good afternoon, family. It's Celeste here. And it is my pleasure to bring you Celestial Moment. I come bearing a number gift and trust you will be able to use these tools to embrace whatever is showing up in your life right now. The energy of the day is 4, and this number is ruled by Uranus. The ruling planet of 4 invites you to think outside the box. 4 also shows up as the architect or father figure of tarot, the emperor, which is astrologically connected to the fire sign of Aries. The 4th animal in the medicine card is the deer, and that's where we're going to put our spotlight today. Deer, so gentle and loving you are, the flower of kindness and embrace from afar. Now love is the strongest force, we are all clear, but the look of love is truly the power of the deer. For when a monster stood in her way to sacred mountain to see great spirit, it was her eyes, full of gentleness and compassion and quiet determination, that melted the monster right in its tracks. It shriveled up into the size of a walnut. We too have that power when we are being blocked from our destination. What is showing up as your monster today? Fear teaches us to use the power of gentleness to touch the hearts and minds of wounded beings who are trying to keep us from Sacred Mountain. And understand this, the monster could be you. Let's remove all blocks on the path by first starting with our own barriers to falling in love. All is well. And that's the story of 4 through our friend the deer, the medicine cards. I'll see you on Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern for the Celestial Show with Celeste Morgan. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Celeste. Spider Woman. That's what. That's another name for Celeste. She weaves it all together, numerology, astrology, tarot, just pulled from everywhere. Thank you. Thank you for doing all that you do.
My pleasure.
Yes, yes. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Woo, life is good. India Arie has a song called Moved by You. I'm feeling that right now. I'm moved by love. This is Destiny Muhammad. Amazing. I'm feeling so moved that I know I can sing. Destiny Muhammad, harpist from the hood. DestinyMuhammad.com is where you can find out more about her. And my guest today, his website address is RichardMoss.com because that's his name. And he's here taking us on a journey of love, a journey back to ourselves, a journey of healing because he stands for the healing from the inside out. Welcome back, Elder Richard.
Okay, thank you.
You're very welcome. You've been taking us on a journey, and I just, like, where do I begin? But, you know, I'm just going to stay in this moment, and this is a question, but I'm really inspiring thought. So you could go wherever you feel led to go. You know, as I listen to you, I am inspired, I am moved, I'm learning something new, I'm catching the new awareness of myself and about life. And I want to sort of move into the area of when love is expressing herself, himself, itself through us, sometimes there are conditions in romantic relationships, in relationship with family members. How do we keep the commitment to be a student of love when it appears that the other is pissing the hell out of us and we are not even trying to love them right now?
Yeah. Well, I'm going to take you literally with how. You know, I don't know who said it, Kaczynski, someone. The map is not the territory. You know, we can talk about love, but the territory of love, I think everybody knows, is sometimes just the most delicious blessing, and sometimes it's truly a place of anguish. It's very hard to go back to, let's say, visit a parent that still sees you as if you're a kid and wants you to become who they want you to be, for example, just a simple example, and how deeply we want to connect with our mothers or our fathers, and how they may not have let themselves grow enough so that that connection can happen. And we love them, we say those words, but the actual thing that happens in our bodies is grief or anger or loneliness. We actually, as I said, love, it, falling in love is kind of free. And it's given to us. We can say it's an attribute of mystery or grace, but really becoming a student of love, we have to have work. We have to have practices. And you say someone pisses you off. So I would say, look, you ask yourself a question: what is it I am believing about myself or this person that is causing me to be pissed off? And what is it I'm What is it I'm carrying from the past? What memories, you know, what past experiences are causing me to look at this person in such a way that I'm pissed off? Or what is it that I'm wanting to have happen? What is it I'm wanting to come forward? In other words, what's the future I want to have happen that I'm imagining won't happen because of the way this person is? So those four questions, which really link people back to what I call the mandala of being, a teaching about living in the present moment, you basically have to understand that you don't just get angry at a person. You don't get pissed off. You don't start judging them. Something inside of you has been triggered. Maybe it's an old childhood memory. Maybe it's an old wound. Whatever it is, in the present moment, which is all we have, you won't know why you're getting angry, why you're closing down, why you're protecting yourself unless you ask yourself that question. What is it am I telling myself and believing and identifying with about myself, this other person, about the past or the future that's causing me now to be angry or anguished? And the other question related to falling in love, what am I believing now about myself and the other, in the past and the future, that's allowing me to fall in love? The thing is, we don't want to usually get conscious when we're falling in love, because then we'll ruin it. It's kind of like being on your surfboard or your skis and then saying, oh, wow, I'm doing so well, and then you fall down. So the how is you have to do work on yourself. You have to assume that if there is an emotion like being pissed off, it's not the other person that's causing that in you. It's what you're telling yourself. It's the story you're telling yourself. It's what you're believing. That's what's causing it in you. And I don't know how much time we have, but I really would love to share with people a way of having a conversation that is, I call it a consecrated conversation, that is, it really is a conversation consecrated to letting love discover itself again in a relationship. And it can be between partners, you know, an intimate partnership, or it can be between friends. And so the how is actually practices. We literally have to teach ourselves to be students of love. Mm-hmm. We have to, you know, because actually love renews itself in the present moment. And if I'm in the past, love can't renew itself. And if I'm in the future, trying to get the relationship to get to a place I want it to get to, I want him to finally understand that what I'm saying to him is really good for both of us, or he thinks, I want her to finally just listen to me because I know what's best in this situation. In other words, you're imagining how the relationship should be and where it should take you, and that kills relationship. Relationship, mm-hmm. You have to fall. Let's get back to fall. It's not you fall in love, you fall into the present. And you fall into vulnerability. You don't disguise your vulnerability with intellectualization, with rationalization, or with emotion. You don't disguise your vulnerability with anger. You don't disguise your vulnerability with, you know, becoming a victim or becoming, you know, aggressive. If you want love to renew itself and do its magic work of healing and restoration in any relationship, then you have to meet the other person in the present moment, because there isn't any love except in now. Otherwise, it's a memory, or a hope, you know. But if there's going to be love right now, if there's going to be love again in a relationship that's been damaged, you have to meet in the present moment. And that means being vulnerable. And being vulnerable is the key to having love come again, regenerate itself, heal you and your friend, heal you and your partner, heal you and your mother, heal you and your father, heal you and your kids. So vulnerability in the present moment is absolutely essential. And if you can recognize that you're not being vulnerable, if you can recognize that you're in your head, that you've got a plan, that you've got an agenda, that, you know, the other person just has to get on board and then everything's going to work, well, that isn't going to work. It doesn't work.
Mm-hmm. I want to break down some things that you said. Well, actually, I want you to break it down. Let's talk about vulnerability, because really what you're saying is, in order to allow love to be expressed, to show up, and allowing ourselves to know love in a new way, is we must go to that place of vulnerability. So my first question is, when you say vulnerability, what does that mean? What does that look like? And second part of the question is there safety in vulnerability?
Well, it wouldn't be the word vulnerability if you thought you'd be safe. Okay? So if you think, what we have is everybody has developed since early in life, infancy, and maybe it's even inherited. I don't know. We've developed strategies for self-protection. And vulnerability is when you recognize, let's say, that going into your head is a strategy for self-protection. Or you recognize that getting angry and judgmental is a strategy for self-protection. Or, you know, becoming judgmental and looking at the other and saying, well, they're never going to get it. They really don't understand. They're too caught up in their worldview. You know, they're too caught up, you know, So being judgmental is another protection, another self-protection. And so if you're going to be vulnerable, you stop being judgmental. You stop believing that you know how this relationship should unfold. So you're moving into the unknown in yourself and between yourself and another. That has a very funny sensation in the body. And that's what we mean by vulnerable. It's a sensation in the body, partly of unknowing. It's an uncertainty about whether I'm safe if I express feelings like loneliness or wanting or caring. It's like vulnerability means that you're really listening in your body in the present moment, and you're going to risk telling yourself, admitting to yourself what you really feel, and then you're going to look that person in the eye and say, I feel lonely. Mm. I feel afraid. I feel tears. And you're not saying it to manipulate the other person to change their behavior in order to protect you or take care of you. Most people can read when someone uses emotion as a manipulation. No, when you're vulnerable, there's no manipulation. And you also have no guarantee whatsoever. The other person can run away because they're just afraid of being also invited into vulnerability. But they might not run away. Maybe they'll just slow down and go, wow, that was honest. Now I know what she feels. Now I know where he really is right now. And if you get slowed down a little bit, because, you know, anytime love isn't happening, in a conversation with people, we're talking too fast. We're saying too much. You know, it's like you've been taking me in and then when I get quiet, then you speak and I'm taking you in. And when you're running with energy, you know, which like was fun when you were singing, when you're just running with your energy into the audience that's out there, that's beautiful. And it's encouraging people to trust their own spontaneity and their own authenticity, because that's what you give out all the time is spontaneity and authenticity. But being vulnerable sometimes means just letting silence happen, which on a radio show is not easy to do.
But in, right.
You know, it, yeah, because yes. people mm-hmm. don't get, you know, well, right. God, they're not talking. I'll tune into something else. But
and that happens in relationship. They're not talking. Let me say something now because I'm feeling uncomfortable in this space. So let me say something. Are you finished? Because I got something to say.
Yes. You just hit it right on the head. That's one of those self-protective strategies. And it's, you know, it's not vulnerable. A lot of times when you're vulnerable, you say, give me some time because I'm just feeling so much. I'm not even sure exactly what I'm feeling. Mm-hmm. And you want to also, in terms of a practice, it's, you know, you can decide to use some sort of an object that you say, this is going to be our talking stick. This is going to be our sacred object. If I'm holding it, I'm going to speak and you won't interrupt me, you promise. And when you're holding it, I'm going to listen to you, and I promise I won't interrupt you. And there's an art to it. You have to practice because you don't use a practice like that in order to just hold the talking stick or the talking object and then beat the other person up with judgments, and they're not allowed to defend themselves, and they're not allowed to interrupt you. So, I mean, that's what we're saying here is you get really quiet and you say to each other, okay, my prayer for this conversation is that we really will feel each other and be more authentic in ourselves, and our relationship will grow. And then you get silent for a while, and then one of you picks it up and says, it's hard for me to start this conversation because I don't want to make it about what's wrong in our relationship. But I have to say, when you talk over me or you interrupt me or you don't let me finish what I'm saying, that really disturbs me. And then you put the talking object down and the other person has a chance to really listen. Oh wow. And so maybe then the second person picks it up, they'll go, wow, I just heard you tell me how it distresses you when I interrupt you or I talk over you, and how you don't want to make our conversation about a problem, but that is a problem for you. And then that person might say, okay, well, will you tell me a little bit how I do it so that I can recognize that behavior so I can start to change it. And then he puts down the talking object and she picks it up and says, wow, okay, I hear you say you really want me to tell you what you do that when you do it, so that because you really want to change. And that is a very vulnerable conversation. And maybe the person would say, and you know, just hearing you say you're willing to change, you want to change, that just makes me feel good. And mm-hmm. and so this conversation goes back and forth with these rules. Whoever's holding the talking object doesn't interrupt. Mm-hmm. And do you see how kind of what I described are really short statements? So you're not bombarding the person with a 10-minute lecture. Because nobody could actually listen to that for 10 minutes,
right.
and really be able, you would stimulate so much in a person if you talked for 10 minutes,
yes.
that you know that they wouldn't even remember the first thing that was stimulated in them. They'll just remember the last thing, you know. And
right.
So that's just one example. And I teach this all over the world. I call it consecrated conversation when it's between two people, and when it's a group of people using this kind of methodology. I call it counsel, which is something I learned from one of my relationship teachers, Jack Zimmerman and his wife Jacqueline McCandless, and there's a book out there called Counsel. And there's versions of that kind of conversation that's used in things called nonviolent communication. And there's a couples therapy process called Imago that uses a form of, you know, the dialogue where you don't interrupt and you listen carefully. So we need to learn that. And, you know, in the beginning, when we fall in love, you just sit there mesmerized by what your partner says, or the person you're in love with says, and they really feel that you're getting it because there's this mm-hmm. presence, this energy is there when you're in love that's bigger than both of you. And then when the other person, when you talk, the other person is just so willing to listen to you because you're in such a connected state, such a flow. So, you know, if you really watch people who are in love and how they communicate and you model it, And then you say, okay, now when people are not in love, but they would like a greater harmony, they would like greater, you know, or maybe they'd like to restore that love, let's use what those people who were in love were doing. Mm-hmm. Let's use it now, but we'll use it as a conscious practice. Mm-hmm. So what I'm saying is there's a practice for knowing the stories you tell yourself that get you pissed or make you feel hopeless or make you sad. And then there's a practice for how you actually sit and talk to someone if you want love to take you again, to blossom again, because that's the one thing that love is. It's never in the past. It's never in the future. It's only in the now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so true.
And so when a human being is true to themselves in the now, they're vulnerable.
Yes. And through the vulnerability, that leads to intimacy. And, two things. So let's got a question for you, Dr. Moss. But I want to also say this, because somebody might be listening and your mind might be playing games and you're saying, well, I don't have anybody. I'm not in a relationship. You know, the relationship. And that applies to everyone. And we teach people how to treat us. And we also have the power to, if it's a coworker that is not allowing you to have this kind of conversation, you have the power to say, you know what, I don't think it's a good time for us to have this conversation. And the way you approach it will shift something in them. They might, even just telling somebody, I don't think you're really ready to hear what I'm saying, so maybe we can have it another time. You can leave them with that. That would cause them to think, you know, because I'm thinking of scenarios where if the other person is not willing to engage in the consecrated conversation, you know, they're just not willing. But I think the things that we say when we listen to what is true for us, we can create this space that would change them. So they may not have the time at that moment, but we can leave them with something that makes them go, wow, I don't listen to people. And that's a gift we can give them. Go ahead.
I'm really touched by your empathy for people who define themselves as single and may have been hearing me as talking about this kind of process is only for between partners who are in a committed relationship. But you're right on. It's actually for all conversations. And, you know, in some of my private clients that I coach, where some of them are dealing with, you know, business situations that are really important to them and to their organizations. And to learn how to listen in the way I just described, where the first thing you do is to just mirror a little bit back to another. They don't have to have an agreement with you to be in this kind of formalized practice, because when you practice it for yourself, for your relationships, everybody's in relationship. Everybody. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody has family. Everybody has friends, everybody has coworkers, or, you know, or some combination of that, just as you said. And the vulnerability is the key. It's a word that has been around for a long time, but now if we don't really start to let ourselves be vulnerable, there's not a good future for human beings on this planet.
Mm-hmm. So true. So true. Let me bring on Celeste, because I want to squeeze out the best in you to make room for more, Dr. Richard Moss. Celeste, you got a question or a thought?
I do.
What is it?
Okay, go ahead. I'm feeling really vulnerable asking this question, I do have to say. But Richard, I've been influenced a lot of my life through cinema, particularly around falling in love. Now, I've picked up, like, that movie's bad and this movie's this or that, but I'm asking myself different questions now, and now I want to go into your bank and ask you, are there any movies or art or music that you believe for you effectively show us a powerful message of falling in love that breaks the stereotypes that we're used to seeing? Anything that's moved you personally?
Well, oh, wow. I love love stories.
Really?
Sure. I mean, if I'm going to go to the movies and see a love story, I'd rather see a love story than a kind of one something that kind of is more based on revenge and anger and violence and sadistic kind of things. First of all, in a kind of general way, Celeste, you know what I think? I think there's more and more psychological sophistication in how every TV series, every movie script is written. Mm-hmm. And so I think that people watching TV series, that there is a lot more psychological subtlety, and people are learning it. I also know that, for example, in countries, in Africa in particular, they're teaching things like birth control by creating television shows in which the characters struggle with it or the characters accept it, and so they're actually purposely putting into the plots of the television shows ways of educating people about sexual protection and birth control and things like that. And it's a lot enters into the consciousness of individuals through the media. When you ask me of any movies, very recently I really enjoyed Johnny Depp's movie called Transcendence, which is about artificial intelligence, but it really is about a love story. And in the whole, I'm not going to give away the story, except that the belief that is sort of there throughout the movie is that artificial intelligence is going to be so far beyond human intelligence that it's going to dominate us. It's going to take us over. It's going to enslave us or whatever. And the movie is a love story. So I recommend people see it. There's a movie called Her, which is as silly as it was. I mean, the premise is silly, but actually it was a profound movie. By who's the director? It doesn't matter for the moment.
Is it Spike Jones?
Yes, it is. It's Spike Jones, and it has Johansson is what's her name? Johansson. Scarlett Johansson is the voice. So this is a guy that falls in love with his operating system, and it's the first conscious or intelligent operating system. So it's sometime in the future, and then. It's not only a brilliant love story, but it shows that when entities become super conscious, what they want to know more than anything else, artificial intelligence in that movie wants to know more than anything else about love itself. And then ultimately it wants to know about the source of love, the very root state of consciousness in which consciousness, God, and is love. These movies, if people look at them critically, intellectually, they miss the point. The message is a message of greater and greater psychological and emotional sophistication. There is so much vulnerability. Joaquin Phoenix plays the male lead in that movie with so much vulnerability. At times, I literally closed my eyes. It was so – to hear his voice and look at his face on that screen as he expresses his feelings to the operating system that is loving him and he's falling in love with and has fallen in love with and is sharing his life with. So those are examples of recent films. And simple happy films. Chef is a really good, simple, happy film that's also about love, but it's primarily about love between a father and a son and brotherly love between friends and... it's not about the best nutrition, I have to say, but it's certainly so. That's I just think it's really a neat question, Celeste. I mean, people like who are really on a consciousness path. The guy that did what's his name? The comedian.
What's the name of it again?
How many movies? Oh, he's done one where he's dealing with God.
Jim Carrey.
Jim Carrey, yeah. Well, Jim Carrey selects his movies to give a consciousness message. I mean, he, the plots and stories are, he's very much on a journey about living in the now and presence and love and liberating yourself by taking the risk to be your true self. And so he's on a path. And so, and then so many other actors, directors, producers are on a path. I mean, James Cameron's movie Avatar was not only a love story, but it was a story about, you know, abuse of power by economic systems, by big business. And it was about nature and how much human beings can become tremendously broadened by their relationship to nature. It's a brilliant movie. So, yeah, those are just some of the examples of the things that I think are really reaching people. And I'm, you know, there are so many more. I mean, there are some low-budget foreign films that are just wonderful. I saw a couple, I can't think of the name now, when I was flying on Lufthansa a couple weeks ago. And, I mean, there was a three-part series made by the Germans about World War II from their perspective and about the Russian front. Oh, my God. I think it was called World of War. And, you know, it's subtitled, but it's the vulnerability. I mean, because we think of the Germans as our enemy. Now we get to look at them living a war where they grow in disillusionment and where they're, you know, shocked at their own atrocities. And you know, it's just, and where they watch their friendships destroyed and their world destroyed. It's incredibly, I mean, there's so many different ways that a profound moral, ethical, and love-based vision can be shared through medium. Yeah.
Thank you so much for that. That's a powerful answer, and I'm grateful that I asked it because I was like, who wants to talk about love movies? But I'm glad I asked. Thank you so much. I'm falling in love with you all over again, Dr. Richard. He made me come out. Thank like, you, the question today. I was trying to get him to do it.
Yeah, she wanted me to ask, and I said, I'm bringing you on. She said, really? I said, yes, really. Thank you
really
for asking the question.
It's a really thoughtful
question. Yes, it is.
There are there are people out there that are just making films to make money, and maybe ultimately they need to make the films make money, but there are people who are not only want the films to make money, but they really want them to help shift the collective consciousness. By representing human psychology and human vulnerability in healthier and healthier ways, and it's happening. You know, it's not necessarily the movies, but even the Marvel's comic movies. You know, even the characters, you know, the superhero characters are complicated. Don't know how to be vulnerable. Need to be vulnerable. I mean, Spider-Man, the character gets really vulnerable. So the message is out there about being authentic and about being vulnerable, even in the big budget kind of Hollywood blockbusters.
Yes, indeed. We're almost getting ready to release the show, to release the interview. So I want to say two things here. Well, actually more than two, three. First of all, I just want to thank you for how you show up, for how you allow yourself to be vulnerable to the moment, to even make room for a new way of being, a new answer. It's for me, I feel like you open yourself for answers to well up through and as you. And I so love that about you. I love your consciousness. I love your commitment to humanity. And thank you for doing the work that you do. You have touched me so deep and filled me up at the same time. So thank you so much for what you're doing.
And back to you. Thank you. Thanks for this dance and what you're bringing to people through what your show is about. You know, it's it's about consciousness, and it's about people loving themselves, and it's about people forgiving them. I mean, themselves and so much more. And
indeed.
Yes. Everything you said about me, I can say I hear and sense and see in you. I feel the same way for you.
Oh, I'm smiling right now. So I want you to tell our listeners what you're up to, anything new that they need to know about, and anything else that you want to talk about, that you want to share, that maybe you were hoping I asked you but I didn't, or whatever is bubbling up for you. So to take this moment to just do your thing.
Well, I've been teaching almost 40 years at A&N. Where I am now, I'm not doing as much as I used to, but interestingly, I'm kind of being invited all over the world. What I like to do that would be of relevance to the listeners here is that my partner, Annalise, and I, we like working intensely with couples, and we sometimes welcome individual couples for intensive processes at our home. And on my website, you can find the place where it talks about private couples work. I like that because, you know, when a couple works with a couple, it's really quite a profound thing that can happen. We also do that kind of work in different parts of the world with couples, and I enjoy that. And I do, I would say what I do that's unique is, as we said, the map is not the territory. My work is very experiential. It's really about having an individual come into a profound experience of falling in love with themselves and therefore falling in love with life and feeling life's blessing. So you just have to go to my website and look. I don't do so much work now in the U.S. just simply because I'm traveling and because Annalisa has a grandchild and likes to get over to England as often as possible, so I take advantage of working in Europe, but also in Brazil and South America, and as I said, now to South Africa, and entering into the Black African community, not being invited by the white South African community, but and that's a completely different culture and very interesting, and because some leaders within that culture came out and spent a 4-day intensive here with us, right in our own home, and so now we're going to go there, and I'm looking forward to that. But I would say that the thing that's relevant about what I'm doing is that everybody, wherever you are, you have a chance to bring a message of consciousness by living more deeply into your consciousness. One of the ways that I give away practices and teaching is on my YouTube channel. So they just look for me under my name on YouTube, and there are practices for using how to meditate for some. We haven't done one yet on these conversations, but where we literally teach this process of conversation, but we will. And there are discussions of how to listen in a relationship, what it means to be vulnerable, how to meditate, what kind of meditation practice or centering practice to use depending on your situation. And that's pretty much where I am.
You just relaxing. You're not doing much nowadays, are you?
I go completely with the flow. I go where I am invited, and so far that's, and I have enough time for my own practice, my own deepening in the mornings, and usually December, part of January is that just quiet time here at home, and lots of time for me to really reflect on, do my backstroke toward the infinite. So.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you. I can't thank you enough. I don't even have enough words. I don't have the words. I just want you to feel my heart, and I'm so grateful, and I'm sure the listeners feel the same way. Thank you very much, Richard Moss.
Thank you, Coach Ade, and thank you, Celeste. Blessings to both of you. Enjoy the fall, the autumn.
Indeed. Yes, thank you very much. Peace and blessings.
Okay, bye.
Life is good. It's getting better. I am made new. I am activated. I have activated and up-leveled the level of my love, to love the unlovable, and most importantly, to love the unlovable part of myself and let it all be. U.S. Anderson said in the book, the three magic words, love or suffer, love or die, for the lack of love attracts evil, but the presence of love attracts good. What do you want? What do you desire? What do you need? What are you visioning for? The answer is love. And if you need help in getting there, get help. I am more than happy to support you on your transformation journey. I am a life coach. I am a soul whisperer. I am an intuitive. I am all that God wants to be through and as me, to support humanity, to support you in falling in love with yourself so you may know yourself differently. You can find me by sending an email to ASK, that's ask, at lifecoachada.com. And if you feel there's somebody else that you resonate with, reach out to them. They're love agents everywhere to help us remember who we are. Whoever you reach out to, let you be the priority while you're reaching out. And sometimes you reach out because you say it's your husband, your wife, your girlfriend, your spouse, whatever, the other, your supervisor. So you want help for them. But love has a way of tricking your behind. It would have you believing that what you're doing is for somebody else, only for you to see, wait a minute, this stuff is so good, I need it for myself. So it doesn't matter how you get there. Just get here. Get on a boat. Swim through it. Backstroke to God, to love. Walk. Fly. Just come back to yourself. Because even though we know that we have a gift to give, and yes, a gift is not a gift until you give it away. In-house joke. When you give of yourself, the gift of life is a gift of you. When you give of yourself, you're giving back to yourself. There's so much I can say. So we'll continue the conversation tomorrow on 12radio.com. That's the number one, the number 2radio.com. Not 12 radio. I was talking to a friend yesterday. I said I'm an intuitive, and well, I was telling about being a 12listen.com, which is an advisor line where you can call in for guidance, which you're moving through. You can find me there too, 12listen.com. And she kept saying, you mean 12listen.com. I said, no, it's 12listen. And she just kept, she thought it was that, she was in stitches. 12, you mean? Did you just say 12? I said, yes, I did. But it's 12radio, 12listen. So, yes, you can find me on 12listen. Maybe later on in the evening today, because I got some transformation and transition to embrace. And so later on in the evening, Eastern Standard Time, that is. And but tomorrow I'll be there. And I'm everywhere. You know how to reach me on Facebook. And my show tomorrow on 12radio is 10 a.m. Eastern, 7 a.m. Pacific. And don't forget to join the host on Life Conversations Radio Network, Reverend Deborah Johnson, tomorrow night at 9 p.m. Eastern. Ambassador on Thursday, 7 p.m. Celeste on Sunday, 8 p.m. Eastern time. I love you. I bless you. I appreciate you, and I thank God for you. Trust love. Trust love. If you can't trust anything else, trust love. Even if you're afraid, trust love. And if you can't trust love, find something that you can trust until you can trust love. Because love is the answer. This is Ricky Byers Beckwith. Trust love. RickyBB.com is our virtual home. So on that note, be love, be true to yourself, and be loved. We all want to be loved, and we all want to love. Give yourself permission. Peace and blessings.
Love always sees the truth beyond the appearance that is showing. Love judges not, and love renews, love is a healer, oh yes it is, love loves to love, love loves to love, and we'll keep on being loved, and we'll keep on.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.